500-year history of the Reformation. October 31st will be 500 years since the Reformation.
Now, I'll remind you also that October 31st of this year is Halloween, right? So we get candy. Yay, candy. And it's also the second year birthday of my granddaughter, Quinn. Okay, so that may be mentioned a couple more times in this presentation. So, yeah. Yeah, well, oh, there she is. This is Quinn. This is one of my favorite pictures of Quinn, that inquisitive look. So I'll leave it up. We'll leave it up for a couple more minutes, Greg. Thank you. Okay. Isn't she cute? Oh, and man, I tell you. Don't you love it, watching your kids with their kids, and that karma comes back around, and they're going crazy because of their kids? It's great. I love seeing that, man. It just tickles me to death. But reform, by definition, means the improvement or amendment of what is wrong, corrupt, or unsatisfactory. Okay? Reform is generally distinguished from revolution. The latter means basic or radical change, whereas reform may be more than fine-tuning or at most redressing serious wrongs without altering the fundamentals of the system. What is our system? The Bible. Okay, our system is the Bible. So we don't want to change the fundamentals of that, but we are a Reformed church. That's what the Presbyterian is. It's a Reformed church, and I'm going to show you a diagram later on how all these churches split, and we stand alone under the definition of reform. Okay? Reform seeks to improve the system as it stands, never to overthrow or wholesale. Radicals, on the other hand, seek to improve the system, but try to overthrow whether it be the government or a group of people themselves. So, we are reformers. We're going to talk about the Reformation, but at that time, the Reformation that happened was very radical. Very radical in the sense of what the religious leaders thought the norm should be. Okay, so if we go to another slide, the next slide, there it is. Now, those in the back that can't see this, that's because you're sitting in the back. Okay, I was going to do a disclaimer during the Greek time. If you want to get more out of this sermon, that you should move forward so you can see it better. But you can't because you're sitting in the back. Okay? So if you were sitting closer, you still can't see it. Who said that? Colby? Or Colby's friend. Okay. The only visitor we have in the church today. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. Heckle the new preacher. Okay. If you look up here, and I don't have my laser pointer. Is my laser pointer back there? If you look at Judaism and then go down to the Roman Catholic Church, was the mainstay of the church forever. It started the church. And then you have the Eastern Orthodox and the Oriental Orthodox. So if we go down here to the branches, you have Anglican here, Lutheran, Reformed, and Anabaptist. Now, if you look at these, Anglican here, that you look at all kinds of different things, the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, Pentecostal movements out of the Methodist Church, the Baptist, the American Southern Free Will Baptist, and the like here under this one. Now, Lutheran stands alone, but this is what we branch from, the Lutheran Church, the church that came out of the Reformation. Okay, so if you go over here and you look at the Anabaptists, they are, I can't really see that good. So, these are churches like the Mennonites and other churches that split away from the Baptist Church. But here you have the Reformed, and the Reformed Church of America and Presbyterian right there. Wow, this is a breakdown of the denominations, and we're a Reformed Church. We stand alone in that Reformation. Now, Anglican Church is a Western tradition that evolved out of the practices, liturgy, and identity of the Church of England following the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Now, that's over here, the Anglican. Okay, what happened here was, this was later like the English Church, Episcopal Church. Because King Henry, he wanted a divorce from his wife. He didn't get it, so the Pope wouldn't give him a divorce. So he said, I'm going to make my own church. So everybody in England followed along and they made their own church. Now, the Anabaptists is a Christian movement which traces its origins to the Radical Reformation in Europe. The Radical Reformation of Europe. We're over here. Okay, we split way over here, way away from these guys. We don't want to be like them, so we go way over here. And there are Christians who believe that baptism is valid only when the candidate confesses his or her faith in Christ and wants to be baptized. The believer's baptism is opposed to baptism of infants who are not able to make a conscious decision to be baptized. Okay? The Amish, the Mennonites, the Apostolic Christian Church are considered later developments among the Anabaptists. But actually, the name Anabaptist means one who baptizes again. Their persecutors named them this, referring to the practice of baptizing persons when they converted or declared their faith in Christ, even if they had been baptized as infants. So this is a church that split from infant baptism to be baptized again, born again, or when I was saved, the day I got saved, okay, into baptism. So that baptizing self-confessed believers was a true first baptism with those guys. Now, the Luther Church, Martin Luther, is where it derived its name from German origin, is right here. Everything split from that. So we had the Roman Catholic Church during the Reformation. Everybody split from the Lutheran Church because it was the first true Reformed Church. So a major branch of Protestant Christianity, which identifies the theology of Martin Luther, a German friar, ecclesiastical former, and theologian. Lutheran advocates the doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, on the basis of Scripture alone. The doctrine that Scripture is the final authority in all matters of faith, this is in contrast to the belief of then the Catholic Church. Now, what I want to go through here today is this is not theology. I'm not meaning to step on anybody's theology or in anybody's doctrine or anybody's religion. I'm simply explaining what the Reformation means and how it got to us and how we're going to carry on being Reformed if we do that. So the Reformed Church in America is a mainline Reformed Protestant denomination, and that's us right here all by our own lonesome. Okay? It has about 223,000 members, with a total declining in recent decades. Now, I want to tell you some research that I have found, that the church that is declining in membership more than any church in the United States of America is this church right here, Presbyterian USA. It's fact. Some parts of the denomination belong to the National Association of Evangelicals, Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, and Presbyterian Church USA. So, like most other mainline denominations, the Reformed Church has had a declining membership during the last 30 years. In 2016, the total membership was less than 220,000, down in the last 30 years. The church has lost more than one-third of its membership in 30 years. The Presbyterian Church, our church, due to theological changes reflecting new interpretations of Scripture, the removal of conscious clauses, and the ordination of women to be pastors in the Presbyterian Church has led to some of this declining. I think that's awful. And growing acceptance of homosexuals as members of congregations has led to some of our declining, according to polls talking about the Presbyterian Church. And I think that's awful. I think it's horrible. So how are we going to reform these things and get it back? So, next slide, please. John Wycliffe, okay, he was one of the early reformers. Okay, he said people should be able to read the Bible on their own. And this, he questions the papal authority out of the Catholic Church, where they had control over the liturgy and the reading because everything was in Latin. Wanted to keep it that way, so nobody else could do it because they had to come to them. Okay? Next slide, please. John Hoss. He wanted the bishops in the Catholic Church to be elected and not appointed by the Pope.
He wanted things to be elected by the congregation more. He wanted a democracy type from the church. But he was burned at the stake for his beliefs in the 14th century. Next slide, please. Erasmus. It is said that Erasmus laid the egg that Luther hatched. He remained committed to reforming the church from within. Remember, we want to do this, reform it. We want to help it along. We want to just tweak some things. We don't want to take away from the message. He also had the Catholic doctrines, such as that of free will, which some Protestant reformers rejected in favor of the doctrine of predestination. What is one of the major key doctrines of the Westminster Confession? Predestination. That's our church. That's one of the theologies. Next slide. Okay, here's what helped it along a little bit. The printing press. Wow, we can make books now that are for everybody. People can get out there and read. We can teach people to read. If we make books, it gives us a mechanism to teach people to read. And people have access to books whenever they want them. And you can see right here what the printing press did. Before, hand printing was 40 pages per workday. That's how they made the Bible. There would be monks and friars that would take the scriptures and they would make the Bible and translate them for the Catholic Church at the rate of about 40 pages per day. And the printing press allowed 3,600 pages per workday. So does this follow any kind of trend that's happening today? What about modern social media? Can you see modern social media to this today about getting ideas out there? And when you post something, kind of remember, when you post something, Martin Luther took 95 posts and nailed them to the church door. So when you pulled up Martin Luther's Facebook page, he had all these posts. And then these other guys would say, hey, I want to post something too. So it started a reformation. So when you do this, next slide, please. So the Protestant Reformation in the 1500s, it split the church. And a lot of other new churches popped up. But people grew displeased with the churches because of this: financial corruption, the abuse of power, and immorality. Okay? What is information? Information is power. Information is power. If I keep all the information, then I have the power to sound smart or to lead people. So this was one of the things that happened in the Reformation, is some of these things went away and everybody started posting Facebook, old-timey Facebook stuff, on town halls and churches and things like that through the printing press. Next slide, please. Oh, did I mention that October the 31st is the 500-year birthday of the Reformation, but it's also the birthday of Quinn. Okay, so I just wanted to make sure that I didn't miss that earlier. So,
what? No, I wasn't done. Yeah, isn't she cute? That's great. Okay, go ahead. Okay, what happens to spark this Reformation? Well, Pope Leo needed money to build St. Peter's Basilica. So this big structure was going to be built, and indulgences
could pay to help build the church. So it's like a campaign fund that they had for capital improvements. Say they started selling indulgences. Say they would say, go up to somebody and say, their evangelism at that time was going to someone and saying, hey, man, this guy Reggie, he died, and he had 20 pieces of holiness. Well, he only needed 10 to get to heaven. But for the low price of $19.95 today, I can sell you some of Reggie's holiness and appreciate it. So that's what they told me. Y'all following that like the commercial would say? Okay. Well, maybe Reggie didn't have 20 holiness. He probably just had 11.
He had 15. So, but that's what it was. They would sell out holiness so you could get into heaven. And some people said, this is not right. This, why are we selling this? This is not what the Bible says. So, Martin Luther, next slide please. Most uneducated people didn't understand Latin, is what the Bible was written in, but knew the common language or the vernacular. And most all Bibles were written in Latin before the Reformation. So the vernacular is like how we talk. Okay, the vernacular is things that, that's like the New Testament. The New Testament was written in Koine Greek. It wasn't Greek, and it wasn't Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Koine Greek. It was a slang Greek that fishermen and people in the streets used. So it's kind of like Loganese. Anybody speak Loganese? Well, if you go down the corridor and you end up in Logan County and you need to ask for something, you need to be able to speak Loganese. Or if you go down south to McDowell County, you need to know the vernacular there. Okay? So. But, you know, they always said it was the church's job to translate the Bible to lay people. Man, these people can't read or write. They're just heathens. They're part of this area outside the common of the church. So it's our job to teach them to read or write. Well, Martin Luther didn't want anything to do with that. He said everybody has the right to interpret Scripture however they need, because the only intercessor we need is Jesus Christ. Next slide, please. So there he is, Martin Luther. Okay, he was a professor of theology. He was one of the leaders. He is the guy that we attribute this year to going up to the church, and he actually nailed on the church door 95 theological statements about how we alone need any, only thing we need is Christ and the doctrine of grace. The doctrine of grace. If we had to go anywhere on a certain day, or give a certain percentage of what we make, or follow rules, if that's all we had to do is follow rules and do all this stuff, then we'd have to come across to Jesus. That's about grace, love, and forgiveness. And that's what he wanted to put out there. He wanted to put out there, there's nothing we can do to get to heaven. Nothing. Except believe. So some people ask me, hey Mike, who were you saved? About 2,000 years ago. There was a term here that one of the popes would use. As soon as the coin in the copper rings, the soul from purgatory springs. So, have you ever heard a little commercial jingles? Well, that was a commercial jingle to sell indulgences right there. Next slide, please. These theses were put on a church door. He didn't want to break with the church. He just wanted to help move it along for the people, for the population that was growing. There was a huge population growth after the Dark Ages through the Reformation. Huge population growth. So it's by faith alone. He criticized some things about the church, but it was faith alone and not good works that would help. Next slide, please. So, Protestant teaching was justification by faith alone. Correct. The Bible is the only source of truth. references that we can go through here, is what I want to do is I want to read these in unison together today. Okay, I know that it's a long liturgy, but we want to do this again today. So let's begin here. Romans 1:17 says, famous reformer Martin Luther identified this verse as one of the key inspirations for his work. Luther saw it in other verses like Habakkuk 2:4, a powerful reminder that it is through faith in God's grace and not through good works that humans are justified before God. Next verse, please. Okay, Ephesians 2:8. And leave this up there, Greg. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift. Another verse that emphasizes salvation as a gift of grace, not something we've learned through our own merit, a key belief in the reformers. Number 3, 1 Peter 2:5, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. One of the most provocative and controversial beliefs of the reformers was that because every Christian is considered part of the priesthood, there was no scriptural basis for the office of priesthood as the Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox churches understood it. This remains a key distinction between these branches of Christianity to this day. Number 4, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. In Latin, it's called sola scriptura, the belief that the Bible contains everything we need to know in order to be reconciled to God and to live righteously. This was important to the reformers. This idea elevates scripture above all other authorities, including the church and the Christian tradition. Number 5. Matthew 11:29-30. Accept my teachings and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your lives. The burden that I ask you is accepted easy. The load I give you to carry is light. Now, we've heard that scripture in many other forms before, right? Every scripture that we've read here today has come from a different translation, either NIV, New Living Bible. And I just wanted to let you know that it says the same thing. The translations say the same thing. And what it says is, we can go to Christ by ourselves. The Protestant reformers believed that centuries of church tradition had placed a heavy burden on the backs of believers, and pointing to verses like this one, they reminded Christians that the gospel of Christ is meant to free people from guilt and sin. Okay, next one. Now, the Protestants celebrate these teachings, and it's for all branches of Christianity, that our focus should be on Christ and his saving gospel. So what Bible verses do you go to that bring you into communion with God? I'm sure you have favorite Bible verses out there. Now, what Bible verses take us to that communion? Those can be just like the 5. Instead of 5 of Martin Luther's, they can be 5 of yours. So I would invite you this week, leading up to the Reformation, and Kyle's sermon next week, is to what verses hold me close? So, next slide. This was the seal of Martin Luther. It has a big, long description that I'm not going to bore you with, but it's very symbolic in what it said. Very symbolic. So this could be like Martin Luther's Facebook page, his profile. When he wrote something, he stamped it with this. Okay? So next slide, please. Okay. Pope Leo excommunicated Luther, means expelled him from the church. And there was another Roman emperor that passed.
term Protestant. I can't pronounce that. I'm going to try to, but it means protest, and it means Protestant. Next slide.
Okay. So what would you post today? Your Facebook page. What would you post? How are you going to reform your religion? How are you going to form your beliefs? How can we reform the church? There are some things that's happening in America today with churches. I'm going to give you an example. Okay, so some of the things, can you still hear me with this thing? Is it not on? Am I on? Hello? Hello? Do I really need it on? Okay. Dad always said I had a pretty loud. But let's say this. Let's say if we were going to do a radical reform in this church, and we wanted to draw members. Now, you people in the front, kind of look around this way. Turn around and look. Okay? Let's say if we did something as radical as this, that if we took out about five of these pews on each side, okay? Pardon me? Where would you say? Maybe have to, well, you could sit right there, because if you took out some of these pews and we put down area rugs and rocking chairs and maybe tablets that are fixed that children can look at, that could be pictures of Jesus, what he's doing, what he's saying, and be able to relate that. It'd keep them quiet. Parents could still learn to keep their kids a little quiet. But imagine if we had rocking chairs in some of these places. If we had a rocking chair and a little table, and maybe someone could sit with their child, and the child could be here at their parents' feet playing, and they could be on the tablet looking at something that's relevant to the love of Jesus Christ. That could be pretty cool. Well, let's say this. Let's say if we took out the middle pews. Wow. That'd really be radical, wouldn't it? Let's not put them in the back. Let's put them right here. Let's put them right here where they feel like they're in the middle, where the parents with kids and stuff and the teens could sit at their feet and play with them. Maybe you consider doing something like that. But even more radical than that, to reform, to be able, let's put them up front. Let's take out these pews and put in area rugs with tablets and rocking chairs and stuff for kids, because you know what? That's what churches today are doing, and they're growing and growing and growing. And not only that, one of my friends on the elder board, sounds like Elder Beerman, doesn't it? On the session said, hey, she saw in church where there are baskets in areas like this with all kinds of little musical instruments. And when the choir sings, the kids come up, grab the instruments, and start shaking the tambourine or little things. See, right there, I dig it. Stuff like that could help, and you know what? Those churches are growing. Now, you think you get a kick out of the Bucket Brigade watching those kids? Just bring them up front and give them some musical instruments when that praise band plays. You'll really be liking that. And we'll have every grandma in the valley come up here watch their kids. So, just posing some questions. It's something that could happen. It's even something that could happen if you took out the back pews. And on Sunday, we had the carpet and the stuff and the area that's conducive to young mothers and their children, but why not during the day have maybe a couple of beds to where the mother who's fighting addiction could come in, get some rest. Maybe some of our members that were nurses or palliative care people, if you want to volunteer for something during the day, throughout the weekday, let somebody come in and get some rest and care and some love. So, it is radical to think like that, but that's what the Reformed Church did, and that's how they reformed into us. Remember the branch that showed? we can come and gather and worship you. I thank you so much for this building, this institution, and the denomination that who we are. And I just pray today, Lord, that we go from this place and we look into the eyes of people. We feel the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we see what they need. We hear their wants, their needs, whatever they need, Lord. Father, just please guide us in a way to reform, to be able to fill these seats, Lord, have a worship that would just praise you so mightily, God. A mighty fortress. That's what we want, God. We want to be reformed to a mighty fortress to serve you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.